Hello, everyone. Before we start this week's podcast, I just want to say that the podcast comes with a warning. It is 18 certificate. That's based on the fact that we opened the lines up to the listeners, and the Watt Bevan firewall suffered a security breach. We were hacked, which led to some harrowing footage and some horrendous audio. We've taken the footage out because clearly you don't see that anyway with it being a podcast, but we have left a bit of the audio in just so you can experience what we experienced during the recording. Clearly, with this also being the Daryl Exit podcast, there's quite a lot going on. So if anyone feels that they need counselling after this episode, please reach out to Watt Bevan 1800 NFT. That's Watt Bevan 1800 NFT. Enjoy. We didn't. Ho, 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 ho! Welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, here to read you quite a story. And with us recording the podcast as we head towards National Book Lovers Day, you could say that with certain comments from our former Warrington coach falling within tonight's narrative, where are my two Jack and Ori podcasters? Firstly, he's all fact and no fiction. Yes, a man rivaling Norris McWhirter when it comes to statistics, our very own Guinness Book of Records, it's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, he's all fiction and no fact. An old lad with more fairy tales than Lewis Carroll. Yes, mad as a hatter, it's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
Where is this going tonight, boys? I'm not sure if this is going to be really good or really shit.
I've put my background with a shit background on just in case.
Well, Sam's a bit more positive because he's got a big smile on his face because he's gone away. He's in a lovely cottage somewhere. Not quite sure where he is. We don't want to give away where he is. It's a bit like Cheggers. We won't give his destination. But thanks for joining us, Sam, because you haven't got your laptop tonight, mate. You're on a different link.
Yes, I've got my wife's iPad and my crappy little phone. And I'm not very good with technology at the best of times, so this could be very short-lived. In a little cottage with with very poor Wi-Fi.
Oh, lovely, lovely. On your own, Mrs. Sankey, still in Milan, or is she with you now?
Oh, no, she's upstairs in bed waiting for me, so come on, get a move on.
Right, let's move on to the Wakefield game. The team was Dufty. Can you hear police sirens at your end, or is that just my end?
Shh.
Number 2, Josh Thulis. Number 3, Stealing a Living. Number 4, Captain Mannering. Number 5, Matty Ashton. Number 6, George Williams. Number 7, Josh Drinkwater. Sorry. Number 7, Josh Dishwater. Number 8, Joe Bollocks. Number 9, James Roby. Number 10, Paul Vaughan. Number 11, 3-year pension plan. Number 12, Matty Nicholson. And number 13, I've done another Everything Will Be Fine, really positive interview for the Warrington Guardian. Interchange bench was Unforced Errors, Danny Walker, the worst signing in a decade, and some young lad who'll sit on the bench for 80 minutes. Prior to the game, Wire had lost 9 of their last 13 games. Daryl Powell was quoted as saying before the match, "We trained Wednesday and we looked outstanding. There was a real intensity. They always say about a book that you don't really remember the middle if it has a good start and a good ending." Although when I mentioned Daryl's quote to Mrs. London, who holds a Master's in English Literature, she rolled her eyes and walked off into the kitchen saying, "If a book's not good in the middle, you should probably stop reading it. Life is too short to read shit books."
Oh, God, that's terrible. That's absolutely terrible.
Oh. Here's the highlights. Paperback writer.
Hood to Leno. Here comes Joe. It's wide for senior. to say the least. Oh, into Jowett. Here goes Lange. Lange past the defence. What an offload from Jowett. And Senior gets his second. Hood misses out two to Jowett. Senior for the hat-trick. Williams. Shawpaw looking for that runaround, maybe. Pull one! Lino booms it wide. Here comes Tom Lynham! Sadly, from their perspective, been lacking. Hood! And Hood will reach out and score. Flimsy. Flimsy from the wire, and Darryl Powell can only wonder what's gone wrong. Jowett chiming in, a flashing cutout ball, and number four for Innes Senior. Boos from the Warrington fans. Harry Bowes to Gale, short ball to Ashurst, support flooding. Jowett gets a deserved score, and that is 14 points up.
Well, the chapters on Sunday afternoon would only get worse for Darryl after Dennis, our podcasting hard-hitting journalist, mentioned the word crisis.
Clearly, you know you've identified some of the issues that you've got there. What are you going to do differently now in the next few weeks? Because by putting your own boots on and showing them how it's done, have you got some different approaches to take? Because if you're training well in the week but it's not translating, can you do anything different to really make a difference?
Well, we just talked to him there, so the player's talking about themselves sorting themselves out. So that is, you know, because ultimately, coaches a team, coach is a player. The player has self-determination then to go, this is what I'm going to do. So the big part of it is player ownership. That's what the boys are talking about in there, is more ownership, but this is what I'm going to do to get myself back where I need to be. If you look at our training programme before we play on Friday, you're going to take a punt at how much time we're on the field, so that is not going to do it. You know, we've had a good training week this week where it looks pretty good, but then your preparation and your headspace going out there is what it comes down to, I think. And then we've got another week off, you know, so we clearly have to win a game. I thought today was where we needed to win the game. Obviously, we've got seven games left. We've got an opportunity. We're still in the six. Our early season form gave us that opportunity, but you're not going to do anything if you're losing games consistently, aren't we, at the moment?
You're not in a crisis at the moment, then? There's no crisis at the moment within the team?
Well, we're losing games. I mean, what's the crisis?
Well, you know, visually you can see some of the players shouting at each other on the pitch there as well.
That happens in most teams, doesn't it? You know, I wouldn't say it's a crisis. I'd say we're in a situation where we have to turn it around pretty quick. The crisis is you don't make the eight, isn't it? You know, I mean, this is a long game. To in the six, sorry, you've got to be in the six. And at the moment, our form line is suggesting something has to change pretty quickly. Are you not going to do that?
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to get ahead of the time frame continuing, boys, so we'll kind of just get to that point. I mean, Dennis, you were there. What was the vibe before kickoff?
Well, the vibe was I met up with Richard Shawright of the 4020 podcast. Big shout out to him. He was provides a real good insight into Wakefield because he's obviously part of that club and he's a bit of a supporter. The vibe was, when we got there, I'd say there was quite a few Warrington fans there, which was a surprise. I didn't think that many would make the trip, but it was. I'll get onto it in tackle bags if we do get that far, because it's probably worthwhile mentioning, Rob, we're going to dip out to get some input from fans tonight.
Oh yes, excited about that.
But just Bellevue is a bit of a mess at the moment. They've got the building work going on with a new stand, and it's a bit of a higgledy-piggledy. But I would say that, you know, from a point of view, it was... I thought that, you know, I think we mentioned last week that we should bounce back. Sam was really positive about it, wasn't he, if you remember,
what,
Rob?
Was he?
Yes, he was saying we're going to win by 30 points. Mm. I didn't... what we noticed was Luke Gale was playing and Fifita was back. And apparently, you know, that was quite significant. And straight away, Luke Gale provided almost like, you know, the security for everybody else in Wakefield. So it was obviously going to be a different challenge from what Wakefield have put out earlier in the season.
How's his hair transplant? You know, from a distance, can you tell?
He's still receded on one side. That's the only thing I could say.
Fair enough. Now,
who
Sam.
About?
Sam, final score, I should say, Wakefield 42, Warrington 6. Did you listen to it, mate? I mean, where were you, first of all?
I'm at the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution.
Oh, you were there when this happened?
Yes, I was here when it happened. And, well, I was here at about 20 past three, immediately got on the Wi-Fi, immediately got onto the radio, and immediately heard we were already three scores down. So it was a bit of a disaster.
It's got a bit of clicking coming on in that, hasn't it? Do you want to just hold that phone a bit further away or something? I can hear a bit of clicking. It must be the iron works that are surrounding the cottage.
Oh, yeah. Interference. That's what it would be.
Yeah. Look at them beams, Rob. What do you think of them beams? You're a beam expert.
Well, it's,
aren't you?
Well, it's, you can put beams anywhere you want, but in Devon, you can only lay the beams from northeast to southwest. That's a regulation of Devon County Council. But where Sam is, I've no idea.
I do remember you phoning into the Wire FM and telling them about the beams in the Wakefield Stadium, actually, about a year or two ago.
Yeah, I did. I mentioned that to them, didn't I? That they were the only beams in the world of rugby that face a certain way. I can't remember which way it was now. And they read it out, which was great. In fact, actually, I think Gary Chambers was doing the doing the commentary that day. So, yeah, excellent. Well, I woke up, if I remember rightly, about 20 past 12. So it would have been about the same. Maybe I'm sort of in sync with you, Sam. Because that would have been 20 past three your time. And I sort of looked at the score and went, oh, here we go. Didn't realise how disastrous it was until I watched the highlights. I mean, they just weren't trying, Dennis. Like half that time.
Well, you know, I asked our friend Rich, and I said, what do you think of Warrington? This is about half time. And he said, I don't really know what to say. They're just not here. And it was like evident that there was just nothing. It was nothingness. We didn't offer anything at all in the first half. It was awful.
What do you think, Sam? You've seen the highlights?
I've seen the highlights. I can't disagree. The moment our line was breached, it was as if they just gave up. Their heads went down. People were looking at each other. Was it your fault? Was it my fault? Just clueless. Would it be too early in the podcast to perhaps give a little ray of light? Perhaps a little glimmer of hope.
Is this a caveat? No. Is this a caveat?
We need this. I'll press the caveat button.
I looked back, and as far as I can see, we have only had two worst defeats at Wakefield in our history. And one of them was in 2009 when we lost 48-22. That was in the James Lowe's era. And that team was Chris Riley, Hicks, Gleeson, Bridge, King, Braze, Monaghan, Morley, Hyam, Rahihi, Louis Anderson, Ben Harrison, and Vinnie Anderson.
Gee.
Now, that team went on to win a couple of Challenge Cups. So if I can perhaps just give a little glimmer of hope, maybe we have finally...
Hang on, Sam. I'll press the caveat button again. I think there could be a record number of caveats tonight.
They could. Maybe we really, truly have hit rock bottom with that defeat.
Was there a feeling, Dennis... and I'm only reading between the lines here, that there's possibly certain players, maybe the younger players at Warrington, that Daryl Powell might pat on the back and say, thanks, lads, for trying. And there are other players in that squad that maybe will be glad to see the back of him.
That's very insightful, I suppose, that analysis. I'll give you a bit of body language of what was going on that day. The one standout was when they took Vaughan off, Daryl almost had a bit of a chat with him, patted him on the back, and you could just tell that it was almost like there's an inevitability about what was to come. But it did feel like that Vaughan was the one leader and the one who was showing the most exceptional effort. And I think he recognised that. And quite clearly, in, you know, some of the other players that were playing there, there was some that weren't even bothering to... I mean, Drinkwater at one point was just stood watching the attack go past him. He didn't even move. No, and there was a few elements like that in the forwards especially.
I mean, you don't know whether he's injured, but there was certainly a play in the second half where Wakefield shifted the ball to the right, Sam, where if you do watch Drinkwater, he just walks up. He looks like he's out for a Sunday stroll. I mean, that's just not good, is it?
I think what Dennis has just said is the key for me. He almost just watches it go past him, like a bystander, not an active member of the team, of the game, of the play, a bystander.
I know we've always took the piss, but I think we have anyway. But I think I genuinely did think was Curry playing. I don't think I saw him carry the ball or anything. I mean, Sam, I know this is an emergency podcast. Do you have any stats at all on Curry, or was it simply that a lot of zeros anyway and it doesn't really matter?
Oh, zeros all over the place for the...
I mean, I've been a bit tongue-in-cheek reading out that team list, but I kind of think that's almost... The way I read it is... You know, I read out the names that I'm kind of saying can perhaps hold their head up high, and that would be Josh Thewlis, George Williams, Paul Vaughan, Matty Nicholson, and Danny Walker. I can't see any others in that list that really...
You got Ashton in there.
Oh, sorry, I do apologise. Did I miss... Matty Ashton as well, clearly Matty Ashton.
Yeah.
But I reckon the rest of them really... They all need to have a look in the mirror. Unfair, Sam?
No, I don't think it's unfair. Well, I don't think it's unfair in terms of what our perception is of what's going on. And 2 years ago, when they went out in the first round of the playoffs once again, after supposedly looking good and this year we're going to have a tilt of it, I had a little bit of a rant, if you remember, where I basically said, it's not just the coach's fault. Players have to take responsibility. And I raised the idea, to use the sporting terminology, do they choke under pressure? And whether that's right or wrong, whether choke is the right word, or whether they just crumble under pressure, this lot seem to crumble. They don't seem to stand up in the trenches, they seem to go missing. And that's not necessarily that they down tools or don't try. It's more, perhaps, that they've not got it within them. They might have, but they don't seem to have.
Last week's podcast, we titled it, Do Neutrinos, Gravitational Waves, and Why Does Right Edge Defence Really Exist? I think it's been proven that neutrinos and gravitational waves do exist. But, Dennis... Does the right edge defence exist?
There's going to be some scientific papers written about it, I think. I think we are going to get a physicist on in the next few weeks.
Excellent.
One thing I said was is to our friend was just keep watching the right edge. I said if Wakefield, you know, pass it that way, they'll go in. And sure enough, they were in. Several times, And it almost got to the point where Wakefield were in, they were stacked up on one side to the left edge, but rather than go that way and have that set move, they just kept throwing it towards our right edge because they knew that whatever they did, they were going to either make yards or actually score a try. And more often than not, as you saw, they scored tries.
Yeah. Did you notice that, I know he'd been out a few weeks, the two halfbacks haven't played together, but Williams seemed to be playing towards right, whereas all the previous part of the season he's been playing on the left.
That would have helped.
Yeah. Well, being that he's
Nicholson,
he's not up to Williams. It was evident he wasn't. He's not up to speed. He's been out for weeks and weeks and weeks. So that didn't help that he was on the right edge, and in his timing was slightly out as well. But you know, you can see the effort still. He was trying his best in a dire situation. But you know, he's just not ready yet. He's just getting his way back in.
I normally criticise the right-edge defence by looking at it and going, oh, OK, he's out of the line, or he's standing too far back, or he's not covering the inside man. But I couldn't fathom it. It was just not there.
That's why we need a physicist.
OK, by 9 o'clock that evening, the book had become a real page-turner.
Sorry, Warrington. Rob, I'm going to stop. Just one point that we can add on. Mm. I sent you the clip of Mike Applecart's interview, and he also pointed out, and it's worth mentioning because you've mentioned it for weeks and weeks and weeks, he'd done his homework and recognised that the right edge was an issue. He said in the interview they were vulnerable on that side. I think the thing is it was so obvious to everybody. And I think that's the problem with this, is that, you know, there's a degree of naivety in the way that we've been in the coaching as well. So, yeah.
By 9 o'clock that evening, the book had become a real page-turner, with Warrington putting out a statement. It read, Warrington Wolves Club can confirm that Darryl Powell has left his coaching position as the head coach by mutual consent, along with assistant Ryan Sheridan. Did you get the feeling, Dennis, at the press conference that was it? Was it? I mean, he didn't sort of say goodbye. I got the feeling that he was still battling for his job at that point.
Oh, well, you know, it's difficult. I mean, firstly, nobody asked the elephant in the room. You know, we've got all the press there. I think there was a discussion before the coaches came in, and there was somebody from the Wakefield staff walked through and said, hey, oh, someone's looking for a job tomorrow morning. And I was like, oh. And so there was conversation going on beforehand. So I said, like, you know, oh, do you think they're going to ask if his job's, you know, in danger here? Oh, yeah, they should do. Nobody asked that question. They did get a bit close to it, but they didn't have the bollocks to actually just sort of say it. So I respectfully let the media ask their questions first, because obviously that's their job and we need to make sure that they can have that opportunity to do it. And then I at the end, I thought, well, the only thing I can do is then say, is there a crisis? And he did stumble, Darryl, a bit over what crisis meant, as I think we've all heard. And in essence, when you look at that, you know, the definition of crisis, it says a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. And I think at that moment, it was almost he wasn't fighting for his job. I mean, I asked the question, like, what you're going to do about it? I was quite abrupt. And he didn't. I only said that to give him an opportunity to come out fighting and say, well, you know, we're going to rip up the book, we're going to have some serious conversation. But none of that came out. So I thought that although it wasn't a strong, I'm going to be here, this, that and the other, or I'm going to get sacked, I think he sort of knew that this was it.
Sam, were you surprised he went?
No, it wasn't unexpected. I feel quite sad, actually. I feel quite sad because I've not been on the Darryl must go thing. Just the opposite. I've been rooting for him because we've met him a few times. Undoubtedly, a good bloke and working hard. I'm not so sure that he didn't have the right idea, actually, but perhaps just couldn't get the squad on board. And in a peculiar way, I was reminded yesterday of the film The Damned United and Brian Clough's brief time at Leeds, when he went into a changing room of big egos and he tried to bend them to his will. And ultimately, it was Clough that went because they wouldn't play for him. Maybe it's not quite that direct, but maybe he just couldn't get all the big egos of Warrington on board. And ultimately, they're not going to sack. I mean, we did our best to sack 26 players last year, didn't we? But we're not going to sack 26 players. There's one man who is in ultimate charge, and it's sad, but not unexpected.
But Rob, I'm going to come to you, Rob. I want to come to you because you're closest to Daryl because of the amount of emojis exchanged that you have with him.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to hear from your point of view what you think of Daryl and the way it's all gone down.
Okay, well, we're going to go through a few points, but I'm just looking at the time. We have now 9 people in the waiting room that are trying to get in to speak to us. So it's going to be an absolute clusterfuck in about 6 minutes. So get ready for it, lads. As for Daryl, I'm in total agreement with Sam. I think he did have the right ideas. He reminds me a little bit. You know, I had a chat to him at Christmas and he told me a few things off the record that reminded me virtually identical to Steve Anderson. He was almost, and I know Brian Johnson mentioned this. When Brian Johnson left Warrington, he said, the difference I find between the players in Australia and the players in the UK is that they're not as narrow-minded. They're a little bit more intelligent to get to the top of the level, top of their game. And I think Anderson was too smart for them. I think they looked at Anderson as the teacher at school that they were all going to take a little bit of the piss out of. And I think they did the same with Daryl. I think Daryl had all the right intentions to move on the players that were slacking. But the players he moved on have been replaced by another group that are slacking. And when you've not... I was chatting to a guy yesterday who has a lot to do with Craig Bellamy down in Melbourne. Bellamy apparently gets on very well with the players, but he has a line drawn, and if you cross that line, you're gone. And the reason you're gone is because he's got 4 other second-row forwards or 4 other centres or 4 other wingers, 5 other halfbacks that he can pull in that will take their opportunity. I just don't think we have that. We can't do that at Warrington. So it's very hard when you're trying to change the culture. But if you know, as a player, well, you know, he can send me to my bedroom, but he's going to let me back downstairs and watch the TV in 5 minutes. They're going to continue to do it, aren't they? That kind of sums it up. I've written down 3 points where I think you need to look at the KPIs of maybe Daryl Powell and also Carl Fitzpatrick, because his name is all over social media. There's been no word from Carl, and, you know, clearly it's not up to him to coach the team. But the 3 I've put down, Sam, are coaching, recruitment and transparency to the fans. The coaching, he's made some errors in his coaching.
Oh, yes, 100%.
His right edge is not sorted out, maybe because he's not got the players. He's left players on the bench, which all seemed a bit bizarre. It hasn't been brilliant, his coaching.
No, but ultimately, Warrington are spending the full salary cap. And Daryl, as far as I think I've got the numbers bang up to date, played 51, won 21, lost 30. I believe that's 41%, 41.2%. You've got to be looking at high 50s and into the 60s, really, to be in the top 4, haven't you? So that's not enough. That is actually way below his norm across his whole Super League career, which is at 55%. So it hasn't worked in pure numbers. That's your coaching bit. The nuances of coaching, well, coaching is about getting results, but the nuances, I think you're right. We still look disjointed 18 months down the line, and the team still looks disjointed. So, sadly, that's up to him, isn't it?
Look at this. It's like a page of Misfits. Like, you remember when you watch Crime Watch and they say, have you seen this bloke? you know, running away with a bag of sweets.
I can't see half of him anyway.
Jeepers. I tell you who I can see is the handsome chap in the middle of the screen. We've just opened the link, and there he is, DJ Birch. He's not got a headband on tonight.
Yeah,
he's not got a head. Where's your headband, sir?
It's just here.
Look at that.
It's handy. It's handy.
It's like a new, you were going to say that, so I'll wait.
Now, if there's any man who knows about Warrington Rugby League, it's Dave Birch. Come on, Dave. Put us right. What's wrong?
What have I missed then? Where are we up to in the morning?
I mean, exactly. We've just gone round in a circle. I mean, Dennis has made more sense than anyone. He was there. He was on the touchline, unfortunately. But yeah. we just don't have a solution. It's a bit like the Middle East. What can we do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm similar to that. I'm at the process of only half the problems being eradicated at the moment. I still think there's a little bit of a problem still within the club. And, you know, after hearing what Stuart Middleton said to Matt Turner today, not overly impressed with his comments. Seems to think that Carl's doing a good job, but end of the day, it's Carl who's getting these coaches in. It's Carl who's helping get these players in. It's Carl who's meeting players in pubs and signing them on deals rather than actually watching them play rugby league. You know, and whoever comes in, I still think they're going to have a really, really tough job.
I'm just glad Dave's not in the Middle East, because when you said it and he said, oh, yeah, I agree with that, I thought, oh, he's got a headband on now. He looks like he's in Special Forces.
Just in the kitchen.
But it looks like he's in a photo booth from what
that
I can
red
see.
Curtain looks quite nice, doesn't it? Eh? Dancing girls coming out in a minute.
I can move the red curtain and you can just see the back of my... There you go.
Stunning. Look at that. That's gorgeous, that.
Alex looks keen to have a chat with you, Rob.
He does, doesn't he? Alex, do you know, yeah. Alex looks the complete opposite of Josh Drinkwater coming through. If he was in the line on the right edge, Alex would be straight there, wouldn't he? How are you, mate?
Played a similar position, and I reckon I still could, even with my arm in a cast. That was awful. I think first and foremost, no one's got a problem with Tadel Powell. I think we can all agree he seemed a lovely, genuine bloke that wanted to get on with the job. But that doesn't mean he's right for one of the top jobs in Super League. You know, but we've got to look forward now. When touching on what Birchie said there, you know, that Stuart Middleton interview today said no knee-jerk reactions are going to be made when appointing the next head coach. And I agree with that, with a caveat.
Oh, hang on. I'll press the button. Alex. Hang on.
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
So they said that since mid-June, a Challenge Cup exits, you know, that something's amiss, something might need to change. So surely in that time, a shortlist has been drawn up. Well, it's not a big shortlist because the bookies had theirs out in under an hour.
Can you have a big shortlist, Alex? Can you have a big shortlist? It's like an oxymoron, isn't it?
But what the caveat there is, though, we need people who are at the top who can make informed, fast, decisive decisions. Now, our due diligence, you know, you go back to where it was said when we were replacing McKaylee, we're going to do due diligence, and our due diligence on signing a replacement for McKaylee is to sign McKaylee on a short-term loan to replace McKaylee. And this is all Carl Fitzpatrick's job, and he's just not doing it.
Every time someone mentions Carl Fitzpatrick, there's just deadly silence. Have you noticed?
I know.
Everyone's just like, another 3 seconds of deadly silence.
Say Science James is giving you the finger.
It's all happening. Gee, look at that.
He's getting rid of his porn lot.
Sorry, Dave, I interrupted you there because there's about 12 people on the screen. What were you going to say, mate?
No, I was... I completely forgot what I was going to say, to be honest with you.
Join the club.
It's getting a bit late here. You know, I'm nearly as sleepy as our right edge defence.
Sam's asleep, look. Oh, dear.
Oh, that's disgusting. What's that? Hang on, that's... We're...
Ha ha ha. What happened there, Mr. London?
I don't know. There's currently a lot of people. How do I get... Oh, hang on. Hang on. Jesus.
I think...
Oh, fucking hell. Hang on. Hang on. I'm muting everyone. I'm muting everyone. There's that many people. I can't work out who it is. Sam, cover your eyes. Cover your eyes, Sam. No, it's still happening. Dennis!
Clearly, I'd say that this has gone wrong, has it not, Mr. London?
Well, there's...
You're on mute. I'm the only one who's managed to unmute myself.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Well, right. What's happened there?
Well, we had 10 people join, and we've got another four in the waiting room and a couple of clowns. It was just blatant pornography, wasn't it? Let's face it. I mean, I didn't want to look up. I've gone blind. Sam's left.
He's had enough.
I'm going to unmute people I can trust. Right, we're going to start with Dave Birch. If he's still speaking to us after that, I mean, I'm going to have to apologise to him. Are you all right, Dave, after that? I mean, it was very similar to Warrington's right edge defence, actually. I'm going to unmute Alex.
I think you only unmute people who have got their face on camera.
Jesus, that was more than a face.
There was a face
camera
on that as well before. But,
yeah.
Are you with us, Alex?
Yeah, I'm staying at my mum's at the moment.
I'm unmuting the lad. Has he got a Manchester United top on or a West Ham top? I can't think. Jay. We'll unmute Jay. Let's say hello to Jay. Yeah, he's going to unmute himself. He's on mute. You're on mute, Jay. You need to unmute yourself, mate.
Was it Burnley?
Yeah, it looks like Burnley, doesn't it?
Is it Burnley?
Yeah.
Is he also playing with himself? What's he doing? He's there.
Hey, guys. Good evening. It's Burnley.
Burnley. Yeah. Now, who's playing better at the moment, Burnley or Warrington?
Well, to be honest with you, 12 months ago, I'd have said they're both playing the same, but now, obviously, Burnley won the league under Super Vincent Kompany. I was hoping Warrington were going to do the same, to be honest.
So what has he done differently that Daryl Powell hasn't done? What's made the difference?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I think
we're all a bit like that, aren't we? We just don't.
Yeah.
Have you got any solution to Warrington? Where would you go now with us?
Well, to be honest, I'm actually on the Wire fan panel. So I had a bit of an insight to a few things last season. We actually had a meeting with Daryl Powell and Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And the explanation that was given was simply that the amount of players that we had out of contract, that was the issue. And on the 1st of May, they were all given the letters and we didn't know who we were re-signing on. So pretty much it was all of a case of nobody wanted to run through walls for him. Nobody wanted to play for the shirt. Nobody wanted to fight for a new contract. And this season, obviously, we started off really well. But in a way, I kind of don't know, were we playing that well or were teams just not really playing as well as what they are now? I don't know.
It's funny you should say that, because Dennis said exactly the same to me off air earlier today. You thought the same, Dennis, didn't you?
We had an easy start, maybe. Yeah. Do you follow him at all then? Do you go to the matches as well?
Yeah. I live in Warrington. I'm probably the only Warringtonian Burnley fan, but yeah. I live in Warrington. You know, go and watch him. I was at the open training session on Saturday.
So that open training session, how did that go? Because, like, you know, one of the criticisms is that it's not translating from a training to the match day. What was your thoughts? What do you see in training? Is everybody happy and everything looks good?
In all honesty, you wouldn't have thought anything was wrong on Saturday. They all trained like they didn't let me do, all had smiles on their faces. They all like they were playing as a team. And you know, we spoke to some of the players afterwards, they signed autographs with the fans. And yeah, they all seemed quite in high spirits. So it seems, obviously, I understand, obviously, Powell was coming out and saying that, you know, we're low on confidence, and I get that because we haven't been winning. But I don't know, I kind of, on one hand, I really wanted Darryl Powell to prove the fans wrong. You know, all last season, all the fans were slating. And, you know, I was going to these meetings on the fan panel and I was hearing what the club had to say. And, you know, we managed to sit in a room with Darryl Powell and he turned around and said, the fans wanted a change and this is what I'm trying to do. And, you know, last season, at the start of the year, I went to the fans forum. I don't know if anyone else went, but I was actually really excited by what I was hearing by Darryl Powell and, you know, Carl Fitzpatrick, and things just quickly changed. And, you know, I kind of, on one hand, feel sorry for Darryl Powell because I feel like he, you know, he's a good bloke, and he seemed like a guy that didn't know what was going wrong. But for me, the last, you know, number of weeks, the matches that we've lost, they've all been lost on basic errors. It's not Darryl Powell out there knocking on or throwing forward passes.
No.
It's quite simple. It's quite as simple as that, really.
Just to cut in, the other guys have mentioned about Cal Fitzpatrick and what's been said today by Stuart Middleton. What's your thoughts on that as well?
I don't know, really. I kind of feel like, from being on the panel, like I said, you know, in the last 12 months, there's been so much kind of positivity about what Fitzpatrick's kind of doing, how much he wants the club to succeed. And it just seems like he's getting so slated all the time by the fans. I mean, ultimately, they decided to go with Powell and it's backfired. I kind of feel that we need an established coach now. There's been rumours of Lee Bears, Michael Monaghan, a couple of other names out there, but I generally feel like we need an experienced manager who's going to come in and sort it out.
Well, maybe we need a scientific way of sorting this out, and we've got just the man for the job, and that's Science James.
How are you guys? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Come on, what's the formula to put us on the right track again?
I think it's attitude, I really do. We go back to what Jay said then when I first came in and we thought we had an easy start. I was at Huddersfield away and I watched us defend on the line for 20 minutes, just relentless defending. Then you go to what we saw on the weekend where Ben Curry's just letting them walk past him. It's all attitude. It's attitude with them. When they were happy and playing well for him, they were a good side, top of the league, we looked like we're doing well. And then as the season's gone on, their attitude's got poorer and poorer. And then we are where we are, like we were last season. It's all about attitude to me.
I do like that blue colour in your bedroom. Is that your bedroom?
No, this is my little office.
Oh, you've got an office?
Yeah, well, spare bedroom.
What's the poster there?
Which one? No, I've got The Last of Us.
Yeah.
And then I've got Morrissey just there.
Oh, it's right wing.
And then I got Brazy behind.
Brazy fan. Would you like to see Brazy back at the club then?
Not just yet. I was speaking to my friend who's in the chat, No Fearless, No Party. I don't think he's ready yet. I think we need somebody who can really get hold of these players and just lead. I mean, Sean Wayne, I said in the group, Sean Wayne that is the one for me. He's not going to have any messing about from Dufty or from Vaughan or Ben Curry. He's going to put a team out there who's going to want to wear the shirt. That's all I'm looking for, mate.
I think we need to go to Joel. Yeah, he's got his hand up. He's been patiently waiting.
He has. He's been absolutely superb as Joel. Joel, are you agreeing with all this?
Yeah. Hi, guys. How are you all doing? I can't agree more, really. I probably will disagree with Jay, though, in saying that, you know, I probably wasn't super enthused about Darryl Powell coming in. I thought it was a bit of a mistake to bring him in the first place, considering his record. You know, we're looking to bring in someone to win that big game at the end of the season. I just didn't think that Darryl Powell would be the right person to do it. I feel as well there's been a lot of bluster from the club. So whenever things have got difficult, there's been we announced like a signing, like when things were bad, and then we announced that we were signing Greg Inglis, for example. You know, it felt like that was maybe like, okay, great, we're signing this amazing player that is now a has been, but I just felt it papered over the cracks a bit. And then we've done that a few times with the signing of Vaughan and other players. So yeah, I feel that, you know, especially when things are getting bad and there's rumbles in the fan base, then there's definitely some aspects of papering over the cracks there. I also think, you know, if we were to bring in someone like Paul Rowley, I think it'd just be the same thing over again. I think it'd be a case of he wouldn't be able to wrangle those players properly. And yeah, I agree with half the sentiment that, you know, that statement about Carl Fitzpatrick from, was it Stuart Middleton today, saying, oh, you know, he learns and he wants to develop. That's not what you want from a CEO, is it? You want someone who's already developed in that role. I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to be baiting for him to go, but, you know, if you were to look at like the CEO of any other country, they've already had that development to really hit the nail on the head when they enter that role.
I'm going to go to Jay in a sec, but I just, first of all, just want to check on Sam's well-being. Sam, did your glasses steam up after that incident?
Did my glasses steam up? Oh, scared to death. Bloody hell. Something came out of the screen and hit me.
There were some harrowing photographs on the screen, and it kept changing from you to the harrowing photographs on my screen. And for a second, I thought it was you and Mrs. Sankey. I was getting a little bit worried, but obviously not. Sorry, Jay. You've got your hand up, mate. What are you going to come back with?
Yeah, no. Obviously, just listening to obviously what Joel said then, I didn't think that Darryl Powell was necessarily the right man for the job. You know, all I was saying was is that when I went to the fans forum the first time we met him, he seemed to say the right things. There seemed to be some kind of new energising from the club, and it looked like a positive thing could happen, but very clearly they haven't. I believe that they also tried to offer the job to Sean Wayne as well, but he demanded control over things that the club didn't think that he should have control over, like security, etc., and just day-to-day runnings of the stadium and
security. The keys and like high vis vest and things like that. Is that what you mean?
Just like match day.
That's a bizarre like thing to sort of. Oh, I'm not doing the job then because I can't dish out the high vis vest. It's a bit.
I just heard that he wanted to control things that didn't concern him away from the pitch. If you get me. Yeah. And. But I think there's only two names for the job now. Really, I think it's Holbrook or Sean Wayne, but will Wayne come? I don't know. I think he probably quite enjoys seeing Warrington suffer at the moment.
DJ Birchie, who's getting the keys?
I'm not too sure, to be honest with you. It's one of them. I'll admit it. I've always probably been in the Powell out camp. Wasn't really a fan of him at Castleford. I didn't think he was the man to take us to that next level. Probably the best around would be Sean Wayne. But I agree. I just don't think you're going to get Sean Wayne coming to Warrington, even with a big bucket load of cash. You know, so really, got to hope for Justin Holbrook fancies the wind and rain of Warrington rather than the sunshine of Australia. Because he did a great job when he came in. You know, Saints were in a turmoil under Kieran Cunningham. And he come in and changed the club and put them basically where they are now, which was obviously taken on by Christian Wolff, and hopefully Paul Wellens is going down the Cunningham route. But, you know, he seems like the man for the job. But again, you know, have we got a good enough squad for him? Is it balanced enough? You know, this squad just doesn't seem to be balanced. I mean, from the Carl side of things, I think he's great at the marketing side of things. Great ideas. These little things with Wolfie sunbathing on the pitch and Wizzy Rascal last year. It's funny. It brings, you know, clicks to the club. But he'd be a great marketing manager. But as a CEO, I'm not too sure, because the actual team squad and what have you just hasn't been balanced enough for me.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Alex? Alex has moved to a padded cell. Look,
hang on, I need to unmute him. Hang on. Alex is coming back in.
I'm destroying the time.
No. This is excellent, Dennis. I'm like the warden. You tell me where to go. You're basically Noel Edmonds, and I'll just do the bits around the back. Okay. Oh. Line three, Alex.
I've been in this pad itself for a while now since our form tips, but I almost think there's two appointments we need to make. And whilst I'm not exactly Kyle Fitzpatrick's greatest fan, you listen to the people who are working with him on a daily basis. He is doing great things commercially. I don't think any of us can deny for a few years our marketing was out of this world compared to the rest of Super League. With Wolfie invading other towns and other clubs, it really was enjoyable and engaging to watch. And I think that's something that he does great. I almost think we need a director of rugby or someone else to sit in between him as an interim to shield him from the playing squad and from the terraces, really. But also to give the backing and the authority to a head coach. Now, be that, someone who has got the personality to control a dressing room. And it's a great vibe in dressing room that we've got, full of big personalities, big talents, people who've played on the biggest stages of our game. But that needs to be matched with who's in charge. And not necessarily is it always going to be a nice guy. And obviously, Sean Wayne would be, I think, a phenomenal appointment. But I don't think there's any hope of him coming to the Halliwell Jones. Holbrook, again, I think he'd be wonderful. He's a proven winner. He's a proven winner at the highest of levels. But his ambitions have always been in Australia. But I think if we can get a good name in there as a director of rugby, and maybe someone like the likes of Monaghan, someone who knows the club, someone who's got the backing and the authority behind him to help control the dressing room, then something like that might well work.
Mm. Well, one man who's been seeing a little bit more theatre tonight is Ian. He's been to the Great Gatsby. He's a patron, and he sent me a message to say that he'd been taken along to Chester. So let's hear from Ian. Are you there, Ian?
I am. Hello.
Hello, mate. Sorry, I got line six, Ian.
Yeah, line six is Ian, the cultural reporter.
How are you, mate?
Fine, thank you.
Now, what was better, the Great Gatsby tonight or Warrington's recent performances?
Or the Great Gatsby.
Could you take anything away from that? Was there anything in what you saw in tonight's production that you thought we could possibly use on our right edge defence?
Yeah, not really. I think there were more. It was more to do with the movement of the jazz movement. Jazz singers probably could do with a bit. Yes.
Mm. Bit of that. You like a bit of jazz, Dennis?
Whatever. Yeah, Ian, what did you go to the match at all this week?
No, I listened on the radio. I'm not as frequent as I used to be going to the match, I must confess. I'm a bit dip in and dip out these days compared to... Yeah. I used to be a hardened fan, but the summer rugby and kids and life means I listen to it more on the radio or watch it on telly.
Sam's coming up with some excellent stats here, but I haven't read them. Tell us the stats, Sam. What have you found?
The records. Holbrook's record in Super League, played 81-65. That's 81.3% success rate.
Is that good?
But in the NRL, played 82-1, just 31. That's a 37.8% success rate. Shane Warne. Shane Warne played 215, won 145 at 67.4%. So,
Right. How does that fit with Tony Smith? And I shouldn't probably mention his name, but Stephen Price. How does that with Stephen Price?
Oh, well, Steve Price and Tony Smith with Warrington were at 60%, just a smidge over. And as I said earlier, Daryl Powell, Warrington, 41.2%.
We've got a lot of people have joined. I don't know how many's on the. I mean, I can see.
Don't do it. I mean,
no. I've worked it out now, Dennis. I'm all over the pornography.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm looking at Science James. He looks like he's been hit by a gravitational wave. He's just frozen.
There is quite a few that there's a lot of lads, people on the screen that haven't got their cameras on. So if you put your camera on, we'll unmute you and we can have a chat. But at the moment, we've just got a lot of names. But not Science James. There he is. Talk to us about neutrinos.
Does it not worry everyone that we talk about these two coaches, Wayne and Holbrook, and we get the feeling that they neither of them want to come to us? Wayne because we're Warrington, Holbrook because we're in Warrington. The two coaches that we've all won, and neither of them want to come.
Well, all right, if we were to put it another way then, what would you be looking for in a coach without thinking of any names? But what is it that you'd want from a coach? Because fundamentally, they'd ask Daryl to sort out more than just the team by the sounds of it. It was this culture thing. So what sort of person would you want to see coming in?
I want someone to have the authority to stamp over the team and over the club. Not let Carl pull the strings in the background, not let the big names on the pitch do what they want. I want someone to run the club, like Tony Smith did. That's what I want.
Yeah, I think part of the reason that perhaps they're reluctant to come is it's a poison chalice almost, isn't it? 1950s since we've won it. If someone comes and does win it, they'll be a hero forever. But so many people have come and tried and failed. It's almost like with a club people want to avoid. Whereas with a decent stadium, good training facilities, full salary cap, a benefactor that means there's no money issues, we should have people queuing up around the block to join, shouldn't we? Should be falling over themselves. But it's just that, it's that poison chalice. Do you want to risk your reputation by going where everyone else has so far failed?
Mm. I've just got to go and let the dog out. Dennis, did you get Justin Holbrook's number? I sent it to you today. Could you call him maybe and see if you can get him on the satellite link?
Yeah, yeah. No worries. Hello?
Hello?
Ah, is that Justin?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. Thanks for taking the call, Justin. We're just doing a live podcast.
I'm coming through loud and clear. I'm on the sand log link down by the pool.
There's a bit of a delay, but that's fine.
Is that you, Dennis?
It is. I've just got a few questions for you, Justin, because everyone's really keen to understand.
I was interviewed by Stuart today. He's a bloody lovely guy, that guy. Bloody son
is
of
he?
The earth.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
He left me a nice card.
Oh, well, he would do.
He wants me to come over to the Halliwell Jones. Showed me a beautiful picture of a bungalow. It's waterfront. Can you confirm it's waterfront?
Yeah. It doesn't flow very fast, but it's definitely water there. And there's lots around. Anyway, Justin, just a couple of questions. What attracted you to the Warrington position?
It's mainly close to St Helens, isn't it? Is it quite close to St Helens?
Yeah, I mean, if
that's
what you like.
Did you know I coached St Helens? I coached St Helens to a championship. Do you know that?
Yeah, I did. I think everybody's impressed by what you did there.
I also left Lachlan Coote on the field when he didn't know where the fucking day it was. Do you remember that as well?
That's slightly unfortunate. It's probably something we need to do.
Don't worry. He's fine now. He's fine.
So what will you bring to the club then, if you take this position?
Well, it's funny you should say that, Dennis, because I think I can bring to the mediocrity. I think that's probably what you need there at the Halliwell Jones. And also, you might have heard of a gentleman called Stephen Price. He's a very close friend of mine. And yesterday I went down to see Stephen and he's given me a little bottle of a little substance called Resilience. I'm going to sprinkle it on those players. We're going to be fine.
Oh, good. I've just noticed, actually, about five people have dropped off the chat since you mentioned Steve Price. Anyway, my third question, what would be your aspirations for achievement on your 10-year contract? I mean, sorry, not 10-year contract, 3-year contract.
Hello? Look, Dennis, the line's breaking up. I have to go. I'm sorry.
Well, that was Justin Holbrook. There. So, Rob, I'm glad you're back. I just managed to get hold of Justin Holbrook. He does sound like the man for the job. I think everything that Dave Birch was saying about him is probably right.
No.
is your number one, isn't he?
He is, definitely, and I think even more after listening to that interview, he definitely sounds like the right man for the job.
Hmm. Do you not think, Dave, though, I mean, it strikes me that maybe, slightly different, but the Gold Coast has a similar theme, a similar narrative to Warrington at times. You know, it's a bit of a party town. You know, when I lived in Warrington, the boys were always out on the ale the whole time. If it wasn't Stockton Heath, it was the town centre. Always, you know.
Sunday night, every Sunday night, wasn't it? Courtyards.
And the Gold Coast is a bit like that. And what I've heard in the media here is that he hasn't been able to rein in the players. He's not the first and he won't be the last. But they've bought some good players at the Gold Coast. It just hasn't worked for them. And I just wonder, you know, St Helens is easy to coach. He had a lot of good players at St Helens. I almost think that I could have coached that team to success. I know Cunningham went wrong, but nevertheless, the nucleus of the team was there. The foundations have been put in place for him to achieve something. I'm not sure Holbrook will make any difference at Warrington. I think he might be a bit too nice.
I mean, you've probably gone from one extreme to the other. I mean, Darryl Powell come across as sort of the man who would sort of, you know, stamp his feet and he wouldn't take any... I can't swear on it, can't take any shit or anything like that. Whereas he said if Holbrook's nicey nice, but Tony Smith always come across as quite a nice fella. And sort of let the players do enough. And I think if you can get some sort of buy-in from the players, especially the, you know, the big names, the ones who definitely have been performing over the last few weeks, then I think we'll go all right. And you mentioned the win record in the NRL, but the NRL's a different beast. And to be honest with you, it's all about Warrington. I don't really care about what people do in the NRL. It's, you know, it's all about Super League and as you said, getting that monkey off the back, because we need to win it just to shove it down Wigan and Saints fans' throats, because it's getting silly now when like so Wakefield and Castleford are taking the piss out of you. You know what I mean? It's not good, is it?
Right, come on. Who's got a solution? Joel's got a solution.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. He is too nice for Warrington. We need someone who can really stamp the mark on our game. I want to go back as well to a point that James made as well a little bit earlier in terms of like the attitude. Why do we like, you know, be keen to hear all your thoughts as to where, why the attitude went sour and why we completely dropped off? Because it seems like as soon as we got beat at Saints and Wigan, that was it. I don't know whether that's just a coincidence that, you know, timed very closely to that whole Josh Maguire incident and the way that that was handled. You know, whether that had any kind of impact into why the players kind of down their tools a little bit. I don't think he's the right man. I'm not sure who is, you know. I felt really low about it on Monday, like after the announcement. I just don't know. But I'd be keen to see why people think the attitude just went really sour.
Alex, I read out the team sheet at the start of the podcast and it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but I basically gave nicknames to all the players apart from the ones that were trying. The only ones I think are trying are that played on Sunday were Josh Thewlis, Matty Ashton, George Williams, Paul Vaughan and Matty Nicholson. Am I being unfair?
I mean, to be honest, you could go through our whole season and name any five or half dozen players who have been true standouts when we were performing well and when the form started to dip. And you'd probably come up with the same names, to be honest, you know, and by the virtue of their positions, they are the absolute core of any given team. But what you need is you need your periphery. They're still essential players. Every team has got 13 men out there and every one of them needs to pull the weight. I played the game, albeit not a Super League level, but... certainly when I played at Colchester and at Rylands, you know, we, every one of us had to do our job or you just got turned over. Now, we've got two of our forward pack have left the club acrimoniously or otherwise in a relatively short period who haven't been replaced. We've got two or three of our forward pack who are just not performing to any given standard at the moment. So there's, you know, before you even start, you're five men down on your forward line. You can't rotate. You're looking at kids who haven't really got the experience who we've discussed in the past, may well not have the build or the ability to take that step up. And you're always going to be on a losing battle, no matter how good you're playing in the halves, no matter how fast your wingers might be, no matter how tricky your fullback might be on the ball. if your forward pack's just not working, well, we saw enough last season what it was like with such a light pack. And without solving that issue, without having that squad around you to allow you to pick and choose the informed players, and yes, we've been unfortunate with some injuries, but we've not replaced or we've not plugged some massive leaks within that squad that have developed there throughout the season. And I think it's really come to bite us on the arse, to be honest.
Sam, you're on holiday. I mean, have you got anything for us? Anything that you can significantly tell us that's happened today that's been good or that you could sort of link to Warrington?
Link to Warrington, no, but I did have a very nice lunch and a nice glass of wine next to the river. I had a Caribbean chicken something or other and a glass of Chardonnay and the sun came out. There's one thing on Warrington, what Alex was saying about plugging holes. We mentioned it on last week's recording. I can't believe how we lost one second row player and didn't seem to be able to replace him in Nicholson. Nicholson was out for, 8 to 10 weeks? What a hole that left. And that, for me, even if Maguire was here, he wouldn't really have filled that hole. How could we not have one second rower somewhere in the reserves who could come in and fill in? It feels wrong, really, wrong planning.
Can someone just check on Ian and give him a nudge? I think he's fell asleep.
Oh, dear. My whole screen is frozen. I can't get rid of anyone. I can't let anyone in. My mouse isn't working. The whole thing's fucked. I can't. Why is it not working? What's going on? Oh, all right. Sorry. I've got another screen open. I didn't realise. I'm getting really old. My cursor was playing away on the other screen over here. And I didn't realise it was on that screen. Jesus, I'm getting old. Christ. Oh.
And it's only just now that it's dawned on me why you've dressed like a bloody weirdo shock jock from the 1980s.
How dare you?
It's because you've got other people joining, isn't it? This is like the... Usually, for everyone else who's on at the minute, he's usually naked doing this, apart from his turtle beads.
It is pretty depressing. Are you looking for another question now, Mr. London? Because it looks like you have your dementia's kicked in.
I'm producing tonight. You're in control. You're running the room, Dennis. Because people coming in from everywhere, and I don't know what to do. And I'm trying to keep on top of the pornography. It's ridiculous.
I know. It takes your eye off the ball, doesn't it? What about this sense of entitlement that was mentioned? And I thought, when we had a discussion the other day, that was probably the best explanation of Warrington that I've heard that best describes what we've got going on at the club. How does somebody get rid of that sense of entitlement? Because Daryl's tried and failed. So what I want to know is that if you were in charge and brought in, how would you sort of disrupt that sense of entitlement? Who shall I go first? Who looks like they're on the ball? Oh, Joel, look, he's just did a little nod. Come on, Joel, tell us your thoughts and we'll go around the room.
I can't even see Joel. There he is.
You're probably going to boot me out of the Zoom meeting for saying this. Honestly, I think one of the ways to get rid of the sense of entitlement was for us to probably get relegated last year. And that would have been a real clean slate.
Where's the delete button, Dennis? How do I delete people?
I don't know. I've no idea. I've only got pinned. Let's go around the room. Right, let's pick up Dave's next on my one. If you could bring Dave in, let's have a look what Dave says. That's Birchie, as he likes
to call. Hang on. He's unmuted. Do you know, I'm trusting everyone. I've taken everyone off mute now, apart from Joel. Yeah. I've put on mute. Oh.
Go on, Dennis. By the way, sorry, I was having to let the dog out for a wee as well. But there was no strange noises in my room, luckily.
Did you not hear the question?
No.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I can't even remember what I asked.
Entitlement and then the dog needs
How would you get rid of the sense of entitlement at the club?
I don't know. It's difficult because when you've got a smallish squad of sort of 25 to choose from, and you've got maybe only five of them performing at full pelt, it's hard to just start dropping people left, right, and centre. I know there's a lot of scapegoats between the fans, and you know we can probably name two or three straight off, and we'd all probably agree that these people have been playing week in, week out. But you can't just go in with that sword, because you like years ago you were able to bring players in whenever you wanted, but the salary caps, there's all things like, you know, all the signing on transfer windows, etc. So it is difficult. I think you've got to just try and root out the real problem of the cause and get rid of them, and then hope that the others will come back in, because there's definitely one or two are definitely causing the trouble in there. And it's just, again, it's a little bit like the bully at school, isn't it? Just have to whack him, don't you?
Sorry, right. Can you hear that? Can you hear that beeping? My microwave's going off. I'll just turn. Do you mean just turn it? let me just turn it off. Just one second.
Oh yeah, very good. Yes, very good. Can you unmute Alex, because he's now chained himself to the bed by the looks of it.
Let me just turn the camera.
Oh, he's already unmuted. That's all right.
Oh, lovely. Well, that was an audible gasp of, I wish I was chained down. I think we had an opportunity to stamp this out with the Maguire incident in the season, and for the club leadership to stamp their authority. And obviously, we've not seen the ins and outs. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know what who said to whom. Oh,
we do know what's going on behind closed doors, by the way, Alex. We do.
Oh yeah. Well, so some closed doors, of course. but the way we just seem to have a radio silence on the entire situation for 2-3 weeks. No, is he going? Is he staying? Are we standing by? Are we appealing? Are we not appealing? To just announce it, always, thanks for your time. He's on a plane home. It just allowed the ill will out, you know, external to the club. It allowed that to fester. It allowed that to grow. It diminished the authority that Power Law Fitzpatrick may have been able to demonstrate to the terraces, and clearly it harbored a real ill will within the playing squad, because I think that's even more so. I mean, the form was already dipping by that stage anyway. We were absolutely handed our backsides on a plate against Lee that night, and since then it's been nothing short of a nosedive. Is it a protest? We don't know. I don't think we're for one minute we're just that bad, because there were times at the start of the season we looked truly electric. I think we really fail. It's never a nice opportunity to have to discipline someone in such a way publicly. But make a decisive decision. Make a clear decision. Don't seem to dilly-dally and just let it all rot in public.
Interesting. Sam, what's your thoughts on that and this sense of entitlement? Because, like, you know, you've seen it firsthand as well, haven't you?
Yeah, the sense of entitlement, I think, is an interesting one, because I think it permeates everyone, including the supporters. You know, we say we're a big club, we should do this, we're rich, we should do that, we should buy this player, we should get Sean Wayne in. I think the entitlement permeates everywhere. I'm reminded, I think it was George Graham when he first went to Arsenal, and he was struck by all the heritage about basically saying how great Arsenal were. And he went in, he took all the photos down of the glory years. The glory years photos are all in black and white. You've not won anything. We start from scratch and zero. But it needs a real strong personality to do that and to lead that, doesn't it? And it needs that personality to have a bit of early success as well, so people get on board with him. I think it was Joel earlier on. I think it was Joel. Sorry if it wasn't, if it was someone else, said it needs someone to get hold of the club and to run the club and not have any outside interference. But who that is, those type of people only come along once in a
listen
while.
Listen to you all, Jesus.
Hey, listen, I've only got one of you to go to, Oh, no, I haven't. I forgot about Ian Cooper. I keep thinking he's asleep. But no, I want to know, you're still there. Science James, what science do you do? Because we were talking before everyone joined that we needed a physicist on site. What science are you doing?
I'm a biologist, but I can help with a little bit of physics if you need some. Oh,
okay. It's to do with our right edge, but we'll come back to
it. Is it organic or is it mechanical, that right edge science?
He means inorganic, by the way.
Yeah, where's my camera? Have I disappeared?
Yes, you have.
Oh, no, is my camera off now?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Science James, what do you think about this sense of entitlement, being a biologist?
I think it comes from our recruitment. We buy too many journeymen from Australia who can't be moulded. They're here for the money. They're here for the paycheck. And then they come, do the 2 years and go. The best players I've seen this season are the ones who are hungry and young. Look at Thewlis, look at Ashton. They just want to play for the club. Wrench is another one. Nicholson. We need to just stop buying these people who we can put on Twitter, get loads of likes, and then we can sell shirts for. We need to start thinking about these players who want to play for the club. No more Dufties, no more Cassianos. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them coming.
Well, I'm going to have to wind it up, boys. I've got a school run to do, but I think this is a good point possibly to finish on. I'm going to go around the room and let's see everyone's pronunciation of the word Josh Thewlis. We'll start with Alex.
Thewlis.
Science James.
Josh Thewlis.
Ian.
Thewlis.
Oh, shit. That was really bad. Joel.
Josh Thewlis.
Oh, that's the BBC if ever there was one. And let's finish off with DJ Birch.
Josh Thewlis.
Sam?
You're cutting out, Rob. You're cutting out. What was... I didn't catch that then. What was that?
Right, on that note, lads, thank you for all coming on. It's clear that none of us have got a solution. Wait and see what happens. One last point. I'm just going to quickly just go to Birchie again. Gary Chambers. He talks a lot of sense when I hear him on YRFM. I sold him a Renault Clio in 1992 at Belchar Motor Company in Latchford. Yeah. What do you reckon, mate? Can he turn it around?
I've been telling everybody over the last couple of months that Warrington wouldn't win another game this season while Daryl Powell was in charge. I've been telling people today to basically put your mortgage on Warrington winning on Friday. Big win coming up. I think it's...
Really?
We know people have dropped the baton over the last few weeks and, you know, Powell's been pushed out by the players. So I expect that big comeback win, whether it'll just be the one or whether it'll springboard into a good season, I don't know. I think Gary Chambers is Warrington through and through, even if he is a Cumbrian. He knows the score, but I don't think he'll want the job. But I think he'll just keep everything ticking over and maybe, you know, he'll give these youngsters a bit of a run, because if I have got one massive criticism of Daryl Powell, it was the fact that the way he treated the youngsters, they're sitting on the bench for 80 minutes. This, when they made one mistake, taking them straight off and sticking them on loan in Yorkshire somewhere. You know, you've got to nurture these talents. Even Thewlis has been in and out the side over the Powell runs. And, you know, he's got massive bags of skill. For me, Gary Chambers will do a good job. But please, no messages when you put your house on it and you lose all your things. And
here's the caveat. Play the caveat. We'll go out on a caveat.
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
All right, fellas, that's it. I'm going to stop the recording. I'm going to have to, unless you leave, I'll have to sort of delete you all, boys. But thanks for coming on. It's a pleasure.
No, it's
cheers.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you in the soon. All right. Thanks.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers.
knock at Birch.
I can't off this, but I can't get out.
He's still there. He's gone. Oh, well, that's my day gone with the editing. Can't wait for that.
What was the issue? What was the issue with the
thing? Issue was about 39 people I invited in, and it just, yeah, there was about four of them just playing porn. They were just...
God. Everybody was laughing for a few minutes, but after about 4 or 5 minutes of seeing everywhere, I think everybody was like, the faces start, oh, I can't keep this grin going. Sam walked off.
Sorry, 40 minutes late. My voluntary Samaritan shift ran over. What with Greg's in the Golden Square shutting down, we've been inundated with calls.
Daryl, was this really a good idea for the commune? I mean, health retreat. to install air conditioning. With all the rising sea levels, surely we should be doing our bit for global warming, Daryl. Are you sure you're not just hot under the collar because you're about to be sacked?
I can't think without a cool head, Ralphie. Last week, I forgot to use any of the bench players.
Yeah. And although you did train well in the week, it was more the lack of tactics that caught my eye, Daryl. Hasn't your number two, Mr. Sheridan, got any ideas?
He's a bit like the ozone layer, Rolfo. Under that bobble hat, there's a gaping hole.
Oh, dear. Well, according to experts, Daryl, your coaching and the planet seem to be on a crash course to extinction.
Do you think nature will repeat itself, Ralphie?
Oh, well, 250 million years ago, the planet did suffer a gigantic methane explosion that wiped out 99% of life on planet Earth. And having seen Professor Broomhead at the 40-20 buffet on Friday night, yes, it's only a matter of time.
And the only 1% that was left, Ralphie, was pretty much lifeless, intellectually inept, and a feeble membrane lacking any structural integrity.
Sorry, Dazza. Are we still talking about global extinction or Warrington's right edge defence?
Talking of defences, Ralphie, do you think we should build a flood barrier at Bridgefoot, you know, due to the rising sea levels with the polar ice cap melting?
I think the only flooding around town, Dazza, is when they defrost the freezers in the Iceland shop. Which does remind me, the last time I had frozen fish fingers was when I went camping on a bitter night on the Yorkshire Moors with Tanya Arnold.
Well, I've decided moving forward, the team will only be travelling by rail to lower our carbon emissions.
Oh, that's an excellent idea, Dazza. Have Williams, Ashton and Vaughan upgraded to first class?
What about Ben Curry, Ralphie?
Just stick him in cattle class. His commutes are that far down the touchline these days. He's probably just derailed.
Besides, with the amount of failed signings we've flown back and to from Australia in the past few years, our global footprint is bigger than Elon Musk's phallic rocket takeoffs.
Ironically, Daryl, most of our signings have turned out to be massive dicks as well.
Oh, don't look now, Ralphie. Here he comes, Ben Zanhaler. He's wearing his Just Stop Oil Movement t-shirt again.
Is that you, Mother?
Well, pour me another pint of Halliwell Jones Lager Piss. What on earth is he protesting about?
He hasn't got over how much Kestrel GTX Henderson Gill used to apply to his legs. Why, there was an oil slick at Wilder spill down the touchline on New Year's Day. Had it caught light, Red Adair would have struggled to put it out.
Oh, what would Greta Thunberg do?
This is all getting out of hand, Daryl. And if I'm not mistaken, the breeze off the Yorkshire Gulf Stream has picked up.
Apologies, Ralphie. That's just me. On my way in this morning, I stopped off for one of those new barbecued Vaughan Benny Westwood breakfast sausage baguettes.
Oh, tackle sacks.
Perhaps Sir HJ will have the solution to the Earth's problems, Ralphie. Why, here he comes now.
I didn't get where I am today without knowing greenhouse gases can't be controlled without Tony King's bank account being unplugged from the NFT server.
Super.
Not now, Benji.
Oh, Ralphie, we'll never meet the RFL mandate of only tackling below the ankles and being carbon neutral by 2025.
Oh, of course we will, Dazza. Once we've got my £249,000 RFL payoff. Oh, we've already offset the floodlights by running with zero energy policy admitted from our centre partnership. Besides, Daryl, make sure you tell the players, you know, when they're all gathered round their telly in October watching their grand final Super League from the warmth of the bungalow, to make sure they turn down the thermostat.
Oh, to be honest, Ralphie, it's not just the climate crisis I need to worry about. It's clear I'm in a coaching crisis, and this is the end for me. Although, if I'm honest, the real problem is our CEO.
Well, that was a hastily put together little episode, wasn't it? What I really liked is you getting in the modern topics of carbon neutral, Greta Thunberg, Just Stop Oil.
Did you say Doug? Did you say Doug Hoyle? Then what did you say?
Just Stop Oil.
Oh, sorry.
And then you come up with Red Adair, who is somewhere out of the history books of the oil fields of Iraq.
Oh, I'm traumatised.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
The worst kept secret at the Halliwell Jones has finally been confirmed. Yes, Darryl Clark will leave Warrington at the end of the season to join Darryl. St Helens. What? What now?
No, carry on. I'm getting confused with the Darryls.
Clark joined Wire in 2014 and during his 9-year stint has appeared in 3 Challenge Cup finals and 2 Super League Grand Finals. Clark said, "I've been at Warrington for a long time, so I'm looking forward to a new challenge and a fresh start. The club doesn't need much selling, it sells itself. I've had some big contests with Saints over the years and I know how iconic the club is. It's a team littered with quality players." Now, we put it out to the panel. And look, this again was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but we asked the What Bevan panel. The question was, all things being equal and both players said yes to the same salary, which player, and you could only choose one, would you offer a 3-year contract to? And we gave 2 options, Darryl Clark and Ben Curry. Every single panel member went for Darryl Clark. Should we be letting him go, Sam? Or is it just a case of Saints have offered a lot more money and we just can't match it?
I think you've put the finger on it there. I think in an ideal world, you'd like to keep him at least for a couple of years. No doubt he's looking after himself. We think we've got a decent hooker already at the club. So, look, at the start of the year, we were questioning whether Darryl Clark would get through the season with all his injuries catching up on him. And the fact that he's been playing very well over recent weeks is reflected in that poll you've done. He's playing well. Curry, at the minute, looks like he's got leaving a lot to be desired. And it just reflects that. Things go round and round. We can't have everybody.
Another player not to be seen again in the Primrose and Blue will be Ellis Longstaff, with Wire confirming Longstaff has been sold to Featherstone Rovers. The young second-row forward fell out of favour with Darryl Powell and has spent the last 2 years on loan, firstly at Hull and then at Salford. I'd forgotten we even had him, Dennis. I never thought he was coming back.
No, but I know.
The demise of Ellis Longstaff, clearly it's not worked out at Hull or Salford.
I remember when you asked me about him, when we were playing St Helens, I think it was last year, and he was really, he stood up and he looked like, he could be put on a bit of weight and, develop a bit further. He'd be a decent player. Mm. But when he left again, it was a case of like, yeah, he's probably never going to come back. And now he hasn't. So I don't know whether it's a big miss or not, but, we could be proven wrong on that one.
The Challenge Cup final will be contested between Lee and Hull KR. The 2 semi-finals saw Lee surprise Saints, beating them 12-10, and Hull KR victorious over Wigan, 11-10. It will be the first time a Wembley final hasn't featured either Wigan, St Helens, Leeds or Warrington since 1986. Mm. It's good for the game, isn't it, Sam?
Yes, yeah, it's really good for the game. It's a refreshing change. It's something new and yet something really old-fashioned at the same time, isn't it, to get Lee and Hull KR in a final. But as much as Derek Bowman has wound me up and he's a bit of a knob, he's obviously a knob with his heart in his right place. So good luck to him when they go down to Wembley. They've been playing very, very well so far this year.
I saw a video on Twitter today of a queue. I think they were queuing up for some club shop in Lee. It looked like it was in a market and they were sort of, it went round the corner and then went around another corner and then I kind of gave up and stopped watching the video. But had a feeling of like the Great Depression watching the video of them in Lee.
What are you trying to say? I thought it was a lovely place. I tell you one thing is that I did read something the other day about the RFL not being too happy about it because maybe they won't be able to fill Wembley with the supporters. Looking at the population of Lee, it's 45,000. So there's
everyone
probably 44,000 of them probably going in leopard skin.
Young Wire forward Luke Thomas has gone out on loan for 2 weeks to Hull KR, but halfback Riley Dean, who was on loan at Castleford, has been recalled back to the Halliwell Jones for the remainder of the season. First Gary Chambers move, Sam, do you think?
Possibly. I was bemoaning the fact, wasn't I, that Darryl Powell clearly didn't think he was good enough because we were playing a hooker in the halves in place of our reserve halfback. I think he's got to be in the in or around the squad where he plays, it doesn't matter, but he's got to be there if we get, if nothing else, to give Drinkwater a kick up the arse.
Mm. The only thing that worries me is I saw him play against Lee and he was off the pace. I think it's great to bring him back, but he's not the long-term solution, is he?
No, I don't think so.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
One game to predict until we return. Hal on last week's podcast predicted an 11-point win for the Dragons, but that has now, has it changed? Dennis?
I don't think it has. I don't think so. I think there's so much to sort out. I think Gary Chambers can, you know, do something for the end of the season. I think, you know what, rather than rush a decision for a coach, I think let Chambers just sort it out, get us in the top six is his mission. And I think everybody would be happy with that after everything that's gone on. Catalans might this week might just be a bit you know, a bit too far. Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking.
Sam, you'll be there. Positive?
I am positive, and that will also make me very sad again. I think they'll pull a performance out, and it'll make me even think it's more about attitude. They will pull a performance out, they win by 10 points, and then the next time we speak, we're saying, well, where's that been?
Ditto. Absolutely ditto. It's exactly what I was going to say, Sam. I always feel when a coach leaves and a team suddenly turns it around, they shouldn't be patting themselves on the back. They should be taking a long, hard look in the mirror. And if Warrington win on the weekend, the players should hold their heads in shame. That's the way I see it. They've let their coach down. They've let their coach down. Okay, that's it. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. I'm not too sure when, because we're now all out of joint with the fact we've done this emergency podcast. So as Warrington sack one coach and go on the business lookout for another, from our very own Alan Sugar, it's a You're Fired from Sam.
All the best.
And from our Dragon's Den entrepreneur, it's an I'd like to make you an offer from Dennis.
Best seeing you.
I'm Rob London, the Richard Branson of the podcast, and the oldest virgin in town. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I managed to screen snap some of that porn, actually, so you wouldn't mind, Dan.
Are you going to send around an apology email to everybody? I can see whomever I choose. I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant, but nothing, I said nothing can take away. Like a bird without a song.